And the Lord actually gave me a scripture one morning because I was so surprised that I kind of needed something. And I'm going to put this in quotations, but the scripture is that he will, that they will bear children in old age. So I took that, and I'm not old. That's why I said old. So I'm young, and my girls have been very encouraging. You know, I thought maybe there would be, I know I'm giving announcements, just hold on. But I thought there might be a little bit like, you know, because they're having children too. So I thought they might kind of think, mother. But Rebecca said something very encouraging the other day. She said, you know, Mom, at the rate you're going, you could be having children with joy. So anyway, that's a joke. Okay. So now we'll do real announcements. So next Sunday, we are having special speakers, a special speaker, Stephen, and it's basically his testimony that he's sharing. I just believe that you'll be blessed. You know, testimonies,
Stephen from the
from Teen Challenge.
That's right. And again, no, I just want to talk about this.
Yes, I know you do.
The reason, you know how we sort of pump up here, like the pregnancy care center, and because, you know, the Bible says you're always going to have the poor with you. Like, so I know that people that work, it's easy to talk about people that don't work, or we don't know where everybody comes from is what I'm saying. You don't know how somebody was brought up to learn how to work or how they were brought up. So my job as a pastor isn't trying to figure out who's lazy and who's not lazy and who needs help and who doesn't. We just sort of in our heart try to listen to our heart and try to connect with people. We do, you understand? I don't want to ever be a judge. Even though it's easy for us to think we're judges, our job is to judge ourselves and to love others. And so we as a church have really tried to really be a big help to the poor, whether it's kids that are having babies, and then so we support the pregnancy care center because they're helping so many kids and young girls that don't even go to church or never heard about God, and then they talk to them about God. And then Teen Challenge is another one that helps so many young addicted drug addicts
and old people.
Yeah, I know, but just broken lives. And it wouldn't bother me, because you guys are used to me, right? So it wouldn't bother me if the guy came up here and he couldn't even preach and stuttered around here, because that's not the motive of why we're bringing them here. The motive is we want to be a blessing, and we do, to Teen Challenge, because they make such a difference in people's lives. But I do know that these guys have wild testimonies. Oh, did you? I wasn't here.
I'll see the video, but I do have another 3-minute
video. Well, we'll play it, because it's just amazing to be a part of people's lives. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't matter whether they're where people are in life. Marriages need help. Kids need help. Broken people need help. Drug addicts need help. Like single kids, that everybody needs help. And the heart of our church is just to connect. Do you understand? Is to connect and help people. So.
And it's powerful when these people share their testimony to see where they've come from and how far God has brought them, and the vision that He's put in them for what's ahead for their life.
I just want to share a little story. I had a guy that I was raised with. Not raised with, like, he grew up around me. He was a lot younger than me, but he ended up just having a lot of problems, and they got into drugs. And I remember I was on TV years ago. I used to be on 100 Huntley Street. I used to be on different TV programs, and It's crazy. They really liked me, so they played me at 3 o'clock in the morning. And the reason I was going on at 3 o'clock in the morning is because do you remember that they used to do that program, Nightlife? So people could phone in and talk to you, and I had people phone in to me and swear at me, but there's always about a 10-second delay, so you could see their lips, but you can't hear it, right? And I just love people because people would be drunk or high or whatever, and they'd phone you, and I laughed because I'm the only minister that would laugh, right? Everybody else got serious, and I thought it was funny when somebody swore at me, right? And because I was trying to help them. And so this guy that was one of my neighbors that got into drugs was in Calgary. And he was in his 20s, already blew a marriage, just got high on cocaine, and turned the TV on and was just flipping to watch something. It was 3 in the morning. And he saw me. And I was giving my testimony about my life. And he phoned me and he said to me, John, and he was just as high as can be. He said, John, is that true about your life? You did the same things I did? I said, yeah. Other than I didn't. Anyway, so I won't. I won't even go there. But I said, absolutely. And God took my life and he changed me. And he gave me a purpose. And he said, if God can do that for me, or for you, could he think he'd do it for me? And anyways, he gave his heart to Jesus that night, watching me on the TV. And here is my neighbor in Apsley. Like, he left, but he was a little boy when he left. And he came here and worked with me. And I remember the last roof he was on, he was a roofer. And he helped do a roof, and he was so high, he fell pretty near. I think he fell off one side, and we got him into Teen Challenge. And do you know that he went into Teen Challenge, and now he's preaching the gospel down in London. He's building huts, and he's married to a woman that was a counselor at Teen Challenge. And I just look at his life. He went through 20 years of just brokenness. Just, that's all I can say, is brokenness. And now he's doing really decent. And 80% of the people that go to Teen Challenge end up changed. There is some that go back, but the Bible did say this: when a good man falls, you kick him down farther, right? No? No. No. When a good man falls, he gets what? He gets back up again. And you that are strong, the Bible says, are to what? To restore the weak. And that's exactly. And that's exactly what the church doesn't do sometimes. We see people that are dirty, or we don't like to be around them or make us uncomfortable. And so then we push them out of our life or away from us. And we don't ever want to be a church like that.
No.
We want to love people. Yeah. You got to have rules. You got to have regulations. You got to have boundaries. I understand all that stuff. But you still got to give. God is a God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance and the fifth chance and the sixth chance. He told us to forgive 70 times 7. And then they said, Lord, we need more faith to do that. I laughed when I first read that years ago. So go ahead with some announcements. Sorry to hold you up.
That's all right. So what we're going to do, do you want me to announce about the lunch? Yeah. So what we're going to do to give Stephen an opportunity to share after, if people want to talk to him after, we're having a light lunch. So Pearl and I have already talked about getting buns ordered from Food Town and just having sandwiches. But if you want to make a loaf, we're not going to tell you no. We're going to say please. Yeah, yes. Just let Pearl know what you're going to bring. And we'll just have a light lunch that if people want to share, talk with him, then he has that opportunity. All right. So services. We have a service Sunday mornings. But we have a pre-service at 9:30 and we have a prayer service at 9 that everyone is welcome to come to. We have a service at 9:30. We call it Growing in Him. Then we have our regular service at 10:30. We have midweek power charge, which I encourage everyone that can come at 7 on a Wednesday. Come, you'll be blessed every single time. There's kids church next door. We'll just do birthdays. I think everybody knows our church services. Okay, so we have birthdays this week. Isaac Trotter today, Owen Perks on the 16th, William Guest on the 18th, he's over in Kids Church, Harry Peters on the 19th, and Stephanie Morrison on the 21st. July is a busy month all around, so we'll sing happy birthday to everybody. You a happy birthday, wanna wish you a happy birthday, wanna wish you a happy birthday from the bottom of our hearts. Wanna wish you a happy birthday, wanna wish you a happy birthday, wanna wish you a happy birthday from the bottom of our hearts.
Don't you have a birthday cake, Chris? In July?
No, May.
Oh.
May 21st.
So I do have like a video if you want.
Yeah, we all want to see it.
They wanted us to show one, but they never sent it to us. We were supposed to show a little DVD before the week before they come. They're trying to set up a new center in Ottawa. But so this is just testimonies of other teen challenge people.
But I just wanted to share that we miss spring, but summer's finally here, and there is some beautiful sunshine out there. And too many doctors that I know lie to you and say sun is no good for you. But anyways, I think it's just they're trying to look for your business. The best thing you can do, I was listening to a doctor there, and he said the best thing you can do is spend an hour a day in the brightest sunshine, or if you're pretty fair or something like that and you can't spend an hour a day, you have to take some time when the sun isn't as bright or whatever. But we as a population in North America, we quite often suffer from not enough sunshine, not enough vitamin D. And it's almost like a miracle thing. When the sun is shining, we never seem to get depressed too often. Depression always comes when we don't have sunshine, when we get winter comes or something like that. Depression seems to follow right along. So the one thing is, they don't tell you this too often, but sunscreen causes more cancer than the sun ever will. And they used to have commercials a few years back on TV actually saying not to use sunscreen, just to cover up if you want. So they soon took them off right away because they're bad for business. So the thing to do with the sun is if you're fair or something and is protect yourself with clothing or whatever, and just do a few minutes at a time, or 10 or 15 minutes at a time, and But if you kind of get used to it, you can do an hour or something of the brightest sunshine every day, and it's supposed to be one of the best things you can do for yourself. And the other thing I was going to talk about today is you hear a lot of doctors saying nowadays that red meat is not good for you, so stay away from red meat. Well, that's another big lie that they're telling you. They told us how many years ago was it, 50 or 60 years ago, that butter was bad for you. Well, it's taken a long time. There's still a few doctors out there trying to tell you not to eat butter and eat margarine, but it's pretty well died a slow death, and everybody knows now that butter's really good for you, margarine's crap. Most of us got that message now. It's taken 55 years, but it's getting out there. Well, red meat is something that I talk about once in a while, and it's probably four times as nutritious dense as fish or chicken or something like that, the meats that aren't quite as red, and it has a lot of cancer-fighting ingredients, a lot of minerals and stuff in it that are really good for you. Now, having said that, too much red meat's no good for you, but a little bit of red meat in your diet does great things. I told you many times about the experiment that was done years ago about all these rats. They had them the pen separated right in half, and every rat had the same temperature, the same environment. It's just that half the rats, they just gave an ordinary salad meal to, and the other half the rats, they gave the same salad meal to them, except they added meat in with it. And the rats that got the meat just about lived twice as long as the rats that didn't have the meat. So, and I keep telling you that this one doctor I was talking to one time, he says, I'll give anybody $1,000 or $100, whatever he said at the time, if you show me somebody that's 100 years or a centenarian, 100 years or older, and is a vegetarian. He says, they just don't exist. So I think the Lord gave us the ability to live to be 100 years old plus with no aches or pains, but we screw it up lots of times. So, and sometimes we listen to the wrong. I don't want to blame the doctors per se, because the doctors get bad information from their learning institutions. The learning institutions are sponsored very heavily by the pharmaceutical companies, and the pharmaceutical companies lie to you to get more business. So that's the chain of events. So the things that's coming on big right now is the plant-based meats, or the meat that's got no meat in it. And that's really big now. So the other thing that's really becoming big now is industrial meats, is where they make meat in a factory. They no longer use the animals or anything. They just make meat in a laboratory or in a factory. And the one doctor I was talking to said that it takes just as much energy to make an industrial meat in a factory as it does if you use the animal to get the meat from it. Now, Mother Nature is such that when we have an animal or a cow or whatever that we get the meat from, it's all a cycle of nature. So it goes through. If we break that cycle, usually nothing good happens. Or I know I was talking to one person one time, and they said, I think God made a mistake, that he should have made all animals to be herbivores and none that are carnivores. And I says, well, that'd be pretty sad if the lions had to eat grass or trees or something like that. I said, they'd all be starving. I said, and then the earth would be covered with sheep, goat, lambs, and horses and cows, and we'd be overrun by them. So nature has a very unique thing where some are herbivores, some are carnivores, and we as humans, we are able to eat almost everything, from insects to meat to veggies to you name it, we can eat it. And everything in the right proportion, there's probably some good in something for us. So I just encourage you to keep the red meat in your diet. I'm not against doctors. I just think sometimes they give you bad information and they don't share enough about the preventive maintenance side of things because it's bad for business. So I don't want to spend too much time this morning because I'm sure John has a lot of interesting stuff he wants to share with us. And I did come across this one little story. I hope it'll put a little smile on your face. It says, little Johnny and his family were having a Sunday dinner at his grandma's house. Everyone was seated around the table as the food was being served. When little Johnny received his plate, he started eating right away. Johnny, please wait until we say our prayer, said his mother. Don't need to, the boy replied. Of course you do, the mother insisted. We always say prayer before we eat at our house. He says, that's our house, John replied, but this is Grandma's house. She actually knows how to cook. So anyways, God bless you. Have a good week.
That's funny.
I always want to know how come every joke they have to use Johnny in it.
Little Johnny this, little Johnny that. Oh, that's good. That was funny. I like that. Anyways, I just, I'm very thankful for our church family, and I wanted to share today, I found out there 2 weeks ago, I already told some of them maybe on Wednesday night, that my truck, one day, I don't know why, I have a phone, and I got a Bible app, and so I put it on my shoulder, right? And I listen to it when I'm driving down the road. And so, because it's hands-free, right? I'm not touching it. But I'm not on the phone. I'm actually listening to this Bible. And all of a sudden, one day, I don't know what I did. I just was touching. I hit something on the button or turned the fan down. And all of a sudden, this Bible came through my truck. And I didn't realize it had Bluetooth in it. And I hit the Bluetooth button. And so now I don't even have to have it on my shoulder. I can just listen to it. So, I've listened to the New Testament in the last 2 weeks, I think one and a half times. Now, I don't hear it all because sometimes when I get out of the truck, it still plays. But anyways, it's amazing. So, the Word of God is just amazing, and it'll change your life. And so that's what I wanted to turn with me to Philippians for a minute. And I was thinking about this morning when we were worshiping God, and when Julie was talking, or Pearl was talking, singing, and then I said, there's something about that name, the name of Jesus. You know, and when I think of this, I'll read this here. But the Bible says here in Philippians chapter 2, and verse 9, it says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we know that the name of Jesus is above every name. And then in Ephesians, just turn with me. I just want to read this. Because Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. So now, I'm reading this, and then I'm going to go read down. But who is he talking to here? Paul's talking to the church, I would say at Ephesus, and he's talking to Christians here. He's not talking to non-Christians. He's talking to believers. Because he said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. So they have faith in the Lord Jesus. So he's talking to Christians here. And he says, heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. I cease not to give thanks, making mention for you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. And see, why is he praying? Because when people get born again, what happens is they're born again, and their spirit becomes born again. And I've been talking about on Wednesday nights, about just this last 2 weeks, Julia's not here anymore. She's always gone. So, no, I'm just joking. She was busy the last 2 weeks. So I don't know if you've listened to me on... We do this book on Wednesday nights. It's called The Holy Spirit and the Gifts of the Spirit. And I just sort of read, and then I preach, and I read, and then we preach. Because it's one of the most important things that's helped me in my whole life. Just listening to God, he helps me in my raising my kids. He helps me in business, in buying houses, and in work, and just... in everything of my life. I was going down the road this week. True story. I just loaded up on my machine, and I had the machine on, I chained it down, did everything, and I got it driving down the road, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, check your pen. So I stopped. And you, people, when I talk like this, people think you're crazy. So I don't talk like this on Sundays. A lot, I come Wednesdays and I'll talk because there's not as many people that think I'm crazy. But God talks to me. But the Bible says in John 14, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. But howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth and he'll show you things to come. So Jesus went away and he sent us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wants to help us. And he wants to talk to us. He wants to speak to us. And so I learned to listen to my spirit. You know, the Bible says his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're what? The sons of God. So he talks to us. And so I've just learned over the years to listen to my heart. And so I pulled over. Or you can say a thought. I thought it was just thoughts at first when God started speaking to me and I didn't listen to them. And then I'd get home, and all of a sudden, I'd say, where's the milk? We don't have any. But I had the thought of buying milk when I was already in Apsley. But I just thought, well, that's Julia can do that. But Julia didn't do that. And then I started to, by just little things like that, I started to realize, well, that's, we had no milk. I had the thought of milk. And after about 2 years, I figured, maybe God's trying to talk to me. I'm not lying to you. Like I was clueless because I just, and then all of a sudden I started to listen to God. And you know what? He's helped me my whole life. And I'm not even going to get into anything like this, but I have bought houses that were not for sale and had people get mad at me and Julia, right? Because God just said, go talk to them. So I go to talk to them. I don't even know some of them. I just knocked on their door. I've knocked on people's doors before. Said, hey, how are you? John Trotter here. They don't know who I am. Do you want to sell your house? No. All right. And I said, well, if you ever do, here's my phone number. Month later, we were thinking about that. We want to sell our house. All right, I'll buy it. Or whatever. I've done that like 3 or 4 times, right? Because God just said to me, told me things. I've helped with my sons, raising my sons by listening to the Spirit of God. And so that's why we do that. But when I said all that to say this, on Wednesday night, Julia reads and then I just talk and preach. But when I have to read, I just preach. Because I don't like reading, too, and I'm not the best orator either. So we go through this. I'll just do it.
Every believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. And if he has received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, he has also received the endowment. See, I have to look at her. Is that right? I can read the Bible, but these big words? Of the power from on high. You don't want to listen to me read for an hour, I can tell you. But you can listen to Julia read for an hour. And it's amazing what God will do. The Bible says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We must believe what the Word of God says, regardless of what our feelings tells us. I learned the lesson of faith in the bed of sickness more than 55 years ago. I acted on God's Word even though I didn't feel anything. My paralyzed disappeared in 10 minutes. Time when I learned on the greater one on the inside of me acted, and I acted on God's Word in simple faith. My heart symptoms disappeared, and I was raised up from the incurable, terminal heart disease, perfectly healed. And so we go through that every Wednesday night, and it's amazing. And so because of that, but I've been just talking about listening to the heart of God, and we start reading it, and then I just start sharing, because that's how I've always preached, because I never learned how to preach. I just have learned to listen to the Spirit of God. I listen to the Spirit of God. I remember, do you remember the night the anointed God hit me, Julie? I remember my dad asked me to preach, share one night. And I'm being serious here. How in the world do you preach when you can't read? Because I couldn't read when I was 20. I can read now. It's not great. But I can read, like, to myself. And how do you preach when you read a scripture? Most people, would you turn your Bibles over to Romans 1 and 12 and verse 2? And he who hath quickened together were dead in sins and trespasses. And then you preach on it. Well, if you can't read, how do you preach? And so my dad, I remember, was in the little old church over there. And he my dad said the Lord spoke to him and told him to get me to preach. And I'm like, I turned as red as your blouse back there. I'm like, you got to be joking me. And I remember this as plain as day, to this day. I went up behind there. And I was like, and I was like, get me out of here. Dad, you're making me look like a complete more of a moron than I already am. And all of a sudden, the anointing of God hit me, and I just started to preach, and it was so easy. So there's a lot more out there for you than just being born again. It's like, have you ever had a truck? I've had a truck. I have lots of them. But I had a truck that the turbo went. Or I have a truck that the engine light just comes on and it goes half power. So you get a lot of waves when you're coming up hills at 40 kilometers an hour instead of 80. And everybody goes by you. Hi, how are you? Brand new truck. Not this one, the last one. The engine light came on, went half speed. And so I'm coming back from the pit, and I'm like, right to the floor. It doesn't matter if you go a little bit or all the way. And it's just like, boo. That's what most Christians are like. They're just going a little bit, half speed. But when you have, because what we were talking about on Wednesday, was it not? You tell me, because Todd's always here on Wednesday night. Was it not about heaven on earth? How to have heaven on earth? Because Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I started this because of Robin. Do you remember Robin? I loved Robin so much before she ever came to our church because I love Robin, her heart.
But when she came and she shared about dying and going to heaven, and then she said, and I laughed, I still laugh, I didn't really think heaven was real. Like, I know I believe in Jesus and stuff, but like, I just thought that was something they told people to make them feel good when they're dying. That's what she said. Did she not say that right here? But it's real, she says. It's real. Heaven's real. And she said, it's amazing, like perfect love. And yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Tell her.
I used to hang around with a lot of bigger boys, and all these big guys would make us do stuff, you know, like go over there, kid, break that window, or I'm gonna smack you in the head, so we'd have to go over there and break the window.
Can you hear him?
Type.
Oh, there you go.
Good. Type of things. And when I was growing up, I remember there was one kid there. We were in a playground down in Sinclair and Old Weston Road. There's a school called Osler, and we were in the back of Osler. And we're hanging out, talking and everything. There's one kid says to me, hey, come here. So he comes up to me, he says, put your hands on your hip like this and go up and down 20 times and blow. 20 times, do that. So I did that, and then he came up behind me and he just squeezed me and grabbed me and squeezed me. And when he squeezed me, I fell to the ground. I fell right to the ground on the bottom. And when I was out, I started going through this tunnel. And it was a gray greenish tunnel. And I started floating through it backwards like this. And all of a sudden I woke up. I was on the ground, but I was in a playground that was same playground on earth as it is in heaven. That's what just triggered it for me. It was exactly the same as where I was, but beautiful. Like the slide didn't have a blemish on it. No dead trees. It was just beautiful there. I looked up at the slide and there was a boy up there. And I said, hey, what's your name? Like, I was 7 years old. So I said to him, hey, what's your name? He says to me, my name is Jack. So I was just about ready to just tell him my name, because he asked me, he says, what's your name? I was just ready to tell him. I said, my name is, and as soon as I was about to say that, I'm back in the tunnel again. And I'm floating and floating, floating, floating. Ended up on the ground where all the guys were that made me go there. And again, I just loved it so much, and I swear it was so real, and you don't want to come back. I did not want to come back. I begged them. I said, please do it again. Please, do it again. So they did it again, and I ended up going again. Couldn't believe it. Yes, I was back in that tunnel, and I'm floating backwards, just looking at everything. It was gray and green, looking at things, and all of a sudden, dead stop. And a voice said to me, not yet. Boom, I was back on the ground inside the playground. And I begged them to do it again. I tried again and again and again to go back. And I couldn't go back. It wouldn't let me go back. And that was the last
that real.
I ever heard of it. For real. That's the honest to God's truth. I was 7 years old. I mean,
What made you want to be there?
Just the warmth, the feeling, the love, it's hard to explain. Just, you get love right through you, John. It's the love that you want. It's the feeling that you get when you're there.
Wow.
It's just super love. Like, you just,
that's cool.
You don't want to come back here. Like, I was 7 years old and I didn't want to come back.
Wow.
That's how beautiful it is. I just want you guys, all you young people, please, it's real. It's real. God is real. Heaven is real.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And you know, I've heard about a lot of people talking about heaven. And every one of them says the very same thing. And it's that love. That unconditional, perfect love. They can't even explain it. And like they can't, they said, it's not like, I love you because You got my form for me yesterday. Because she didn't. That's not the kind of love, right? Because that's our kind of love. I was mad yesterday because I phoned her. I'm working because since Josh got hurt, thanks, Josh, for jumping dirt bikes. No. I've been working till 11 o'clock at night now, every night, trying to catch up and do, because John's working and Zach's working and I'm working. And I'm literally working till 11 o'clock at night, every single night. But I don't mind. It's only for the summer. And I said to Julia, and I'm working all day Saturday till 11 o'clock. And I said to Julia, I got to go meet a lady at like 11 o'clock. So I'm like barreling out from the job site. I said, you got to get me a wedding thing. Okay, yeah, I will. So I get home. I got like five minutes to like drive all the way to my house instead of just go to Apsley. And then go to Stony Lake, talk to these people at the wedding, and go back to work. And I get home, where's mommy? Well, I don't know, she and Grace went somewhere. I'm like, oh. And I get feeling sorry for myself because I think, all I do is work all the time for you, and the least you can do is just find a little piece of paper for me and leave it out. And then the first thing she said to me, you know what she said? Oh, you're not perfect either, you know. I wanted to drive her right through the windshield. I was in one car and she was in the other car. But so I'm human too, okay? I never said I was perfect. I just want my piece of paper. Anyway, sorry. So that's not that's our kind of love, right? Thank you, Julie. I love you. Thanks for giving me that paper. And then you see my love towards her when she doesn't give me my piece of paper. That's natural love, right? Because I know it's not God's love. I wasn't mad at her. I was just, she irritated me yesterday. Especially when she told me that. It's the first thing, well, you're not perfect either. I never said I was perfect. Sassy. She used to be so nice and be afraid of me. Now she's not afraid of me no more. Anyway, sorry. That's Grace is rubbing off on her and Rebecca. That's the problem. You just tell him. Tell Dad. Where are we? Ephesians chapter 1. And it says, this is where Paul's talking to the church, right? And he says, wherefore, after I heard of your faith, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, and that you would know what is the hope of your calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities. And this is what I want you to see here. The Bible says, he says, far above all principalities, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now, let me turn there for a minute. So we know that the name of Jesus is above every name, right? All principality, all power, might, all dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And so we've been given a name of Jesus, And let's go to here. This isn't in my book. I got all these scriptures right here written down, and this isn't in it. But I'm gonna see if I can find it. If I can't find it, somebody else can find it for me. It's in Hebrews. I think it's in Hebrews, but I'm going to look in Hebrews chapter 1, where it talks about this man. The word didn't profit them. Yeah, I think it's in Hebrews 4. Let me just tell you. Let us therefore... Is it Hebrews 1 where the word didn't profit them because they didn't put faith in it? Is it Hebrews 4? Okay, that's what I thought it was, but I'm not seeing it here. I'll read verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, of any of you seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. So, you know how we've got the name of Jesus? We all got the name of Jesus, which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, everything in earth has to bow to the name. That's what the Bible says. But here it says this, and this is where it's really important to know what faith is. Because see, it says here, how many people know the Word of God is number one? Right? It is number one. I was just reading this morning in Hebrews 2 and 8. Let me just read there. I'm coming right back here because I want to read this. But Hebrews 2 8, what does it say? Hebrews 2 8 says that thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by him are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So we know that Jesus paid the price, right? He paid the price. But see, the Word of God... Even to you, and my whole thing was this that I've been talking about on Wednesday night, is Jesus said he wants us to have heaven on earth. And I know that heaven is free because of Jesus. When you leave this scene, as we've heard, that's amazing. From Robin, I've heard tons of testimonies from people that have died. I've watched documentaries. There's a guy that put a documentary out. He was a doctor. A non-Christian, didn't know anything about Jesus, was against God, got born again because he seen people that died and went to hell and came back and grabbed him by the throat and said, "Don't let me go, don't let me go, don't let me go." And then this other guy that died and went to heaven and says, "Don't keep me, don't keep me, don't keep me." And he's seen that over and over and over again, that he got born again. That because of people dying on his bed, that's how he got born again. Because one would go to hell and one would go to heaven. And he says it was completely, one was like full of fear and terror, and one was just so like peaceful. And he got born again. So we know heaven is real. But I want our church or every person I talk to have heaven here on earth. And the way to do that, is it 12 o'clock already? I'm so sorry. I'll just read this and we'll go. It says here, for under us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard. I know it doesn't say exactly that. Fixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into this rest. So just because the word of God is real, and heaven and earth will pass, but my word will not pass, unless you put faith in that name, it will not profit you at all. So that's how come some people get put faith in being born again, and they get born again. Some people don't believe in certain
things of the Spirit. And that's up to, I don't knock anybody. Some people will say to me, I don't believe that God talks to you. And I say, it's okay. I don't fight with nobody. Some people don't believe that God heals people. Well, I'm not fighting with anybody. Like, it's not my job. My job is to preach the best way, because one day I'm going to stand before God and he's going to say, why didn't you tell him what you really thought? Because I sometimes preach actually what I really believe. And I might not be right about everything, but I do the best I can. But I believe in this stuff. But I know that faith is the only thing in God's word that is going to help you in that area. So these people had the word, but it didn't even do anything for them because they didn't put faith in it. And then the ones that put faith in it, you rest, because now it's not you doing the work, it's God. And that's really where I wanted to get to today, and a lot more. But you know, we got lots of life left. I'm going to be a dad, you know this, and I've been thinking about this all week. I started to get a little excited this week. I'm going to get the baby bonus and old age pension at the same time. Father, Lord, I ask you, Father, to bless our church family abundantly. Our desire is that we have heaven here on earth. And Father, I'm asking you that heaven will flow in through. And you know what I mean. I know heaven's in heaven. But I'm talking heaven. I'm talking what people need. That it'll flow in through this church family right now by your anointing. That you just minister to people's needs. And Father, I thank you so much for loving us unconditional in spite of us. Father, you're so good. And we love you so much. And I give you all the glory and all the credit for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, bless the giver today. We just praise you. We just glorify you. We give you all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming.